This is your dose of daily market wisdom with Master Trader Nick Santiago. Starting from humble beginnings, Nick has been beating the markets for over two decades. He shares with you his take on the profitable trades that will have you moving towards financial freedom in no time at all. To see an in-depth review of his track record and much more, go to InTheMoneyStocks.com.
Welcome. This is your daily dose of daily market wisdom with Master Trader Nick Santiago. I'm Kerry Lutz. Today is 8/26/20. This is show number 105. Well, Nick, as anticipated, the changes went through in the Dow?
They go through at the end of the month, so that's coming up shortly, but they'll be going through at the end of this month. But one thing we have noticed here is that Salesforce, which was just added to the Dow Jones Industrial Average, is up about 26% today. So this stock is making a big, big power surge in the market, and that's going to be beneficial for the Dow going forward. So again, Salesforce reporting pretty much blockbuster earnings, I would suspect, after a move like this. But it is giving a big lift to the cloud software names today. A lot of them are trading in sympathy to Salesforce. And, it looks like the Dow Jones made the right pick by picking this company and removing a couple of others.
So what, just refresh my recollection, what is the methodology that, I assume it's Dow Jones, which is the owner of the Wall Street Journal and is now owned by Rupert Murdoch News Corp. What's the methodology for picking stocks? Because you only got 30 of them there. It's been a consistent index for over 100 years. How do they figure out what should go in there and what shouldn't?
Well, it looks like now, it really started out in, before it became the Dow Jones Industrial Average, it was the railroad average. You really just had railroad stocks in there. Then they brought it out to industrial stocks. Now we have tech stocks in there. They try to, we have pharmaceuticals in there. You have some transports in there, like, you'll see other companies in there like Caterpillar as well. Boeing is in there. So, you know, they try to make it a little bit more diverse, I believe. But, one thing I've noticed that they do have a tendency is to take the underperformers out there and replace them with the performing stocks. So you get an industrial stock like General Electric, they removed that one pretty quickly once it had its big tumble and, replaced it. And then Salesforce now is, I guess, being added along with Amgen and Honeywell, and it's replacing ExxonMobil, Pfizer, and Raytheon. So, I believe the reason why they did this, they added Salesforce in there, is because Apple, which is a $500 stock, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average is price cap weighted, not market cap weighted, Apple splitting will affect the Dow. So they figure they'll add in CRM, which is Salesforce cloud software name, and that will help boost the Dow up. And, they're getting a nice bump today. This stock is up $55. It's a great move for a $270 company, up 26%.
And this is basically Salesforce.com. If you're not familiar, it is a cloud-based computing company, which allows companies to manage their sales forces using a CRM or customer relations management system that's highly customizable, et cetera. So it's really a nod to the cloud, isn't it?
It really is. And, the cloud stocks have been laggards recently. They've been leaders in 2020, but, recently they've been making lower highs on the chart. So they've been struggling a little bit. But today, you have this blast off move in Salesforce. It really gives a shot to the arm to a lot of these leading cloud names. So it'll be interesting to see where we go here, because the Nasdaq's already had a monster year. And it's having a very good day again today with all these cloud-related equities moving higher.
Hey, my friend who is sometimes forced to use Salesforce called it Salesforce.hell, because it enables the sales manager to be involved in every minutia of your job as a salesperson, which maybe is good and maybe is bad, depends on the company. But it gives you capabilities you could never have before, not to get too into the fundamental picture. So NASDAQ and S&P, how much are they up so far for the year, Nick?
Well, the NASDAQ is up almost 30%. I would say it's roughly about 28% this year. The S&P is just up a couple of percent, so it's not that big a deal for the S&P 500, but you still have the Dow Jones Industrial Average lower by about 1.5%, the Russell 2000 down about 6%. But, you know, think about it. The S&P has gone positive this year, which was, you know, down a tremendous amount. It was negative by over 30% at one point. But think about it. This year now it's up a little over, I guess it's up 6% at the moment. So pretty good move there.
Yeah, that's pretty remarkable. And that all happened literally in the past. Well, it really happened, but it really happened 3 months because it hasn't done much in the past couple of months, right?
It's gone up a little bit. Since June, it's really been, you know, more of a, even though it has climbed, it's been a much more slower climb. But, you know, the move from March to June was really incredible.
Violent.
And now we're just grinding higher.
Grinding higher, which is kind of what you expect, because I read some survey once, and you probably add more to it, but something to the effect that 80% of the market's moves come in a 10% time period, meaning the market will do nothing for a number of months, consolidation, and then all of a sudden it'll shoot up 15-20% while nobody's watching, and then repeat, rinse, repeat. Right.
Yeah, that's pretty much the way it works. What I always tell my membership is that we want to make the bulk of the money on the turns. And that means, you know, obviously we're picking a high and picking a low. But, you know, if you pick that March turning point, you know, we've had tremendous gains where we almost put money in the bank every day on a trade. Now it's much, much tougher. The easy money's over. That money's been made already. Now it's more of a grind where you got to really, you know what you're doing here. You got to really be selective and you got to be patient because things just don't play out. I mean, you don't get a sales force that's on the back of earnings, but that doesn't happen every day. So, you know, now it's more of a grind to try to pick out good patterns, good chart setups. And that's what you have to do in this kind of environment.
Yeah, agreed. So, hey, when I woke up this morning, I looked at my Kitco spot price of gold was down $23.90, I believe. Had an upside reversal on the spot, we're talking, it's now up $10, and that's the sign of a really bullish market when you have these upside reversals, and conversely when you have these downside reversals, sign of a weaker market.
Yeah, almost every downtick I should say in gold gets bought, and other precious metals as well. So, you know, we'll watch that pretty closely. Yesterday you did have a sell-off in gold, today it's back up. One relationship I've seen for a while is when consumer confidence slides, gold has a tendency to catch a bid. And I think we're seeing that now. So, again, you know, I am very, very bullish on gold in the longer term. Shorter term, I think we're going to do a little bit more backing and filling here. But that, in my opinion, is healthy if it could do that for a while. You know, that'll even lead to a bigger advance down the road.
Yeah. And basically, since I think, since August 7th or 8th, it's pretty much been moving sideways. I mean, I could see it going down right to 1850 to that resistance point.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it could do it. Might not, but it could
do it. Yeah, it might not. And, you know, even if it does go into there or even a little bit lower, I mean, even 1800, I mean, is such a big, big level. 1750 is such a big, big breakout base. So, I mean, the support levels that are below are just enormous right now, and they will be very, very firm when tagged, if they even get down there.
Hey, and what I really love from the standpoint of mining stocks, even though I know you don't get into the fundamentals, but every explorer, every developer out there, they have to do these, they're required by pretty much Canadian law and industry practice. They've got to do a pre-feasibility study. First, they do a 43-101, when they found a resource, then pre-feasibility study, then final feasibility study. And they have to calculate the value, the net present value of the mine based on a certain number for the price of gold or silver or copper, whatever they're going to produce, and copper equivalent, because sometimes it could be a copper mine, but they'll be getting tons of gold and silver out of there. So they have to make it a copper equivalent. And all of these numbers, they're doing like 1400 gold, 1500 gold, $18 silver. So they do these feasibility studies, and really they're grossly understating the value of the metal in the ground and the eventual value of the mine, should it be fortunate enough to ever get into production.
Well, that's quite something, but you know, you got to remember the numbers now in everything. It doesn't even matter if it's gold or silver or copper. I mean, these things have really had rocket ship moves so far, and it doesn't really look like that's going to stop at any time soon.
Yeah, agreed. And I think we will leave it at that. Hey, take a look at Nick's site in themoneystocks.com. It's got Nick's whole trading record there, as well as a lot of other valuable info. The Twitter feeds are at ITMS, at NickSantiago01, and at Kerry Lutz. And we welcome your questions and your comments, kl@kerrylutz.com. Nick, we will catch up with you tomorrow, and happy trading.
Thank you.
And so concludes another episode of Daily Market Wisdom with Master Trader Nick Santiago. Be sure to go to his website, inthemoneystocks.com. Don't forget the Twitter feeds, at ITMS and at NickSantiago01.